In a time-honored ceremony in Stockholm, Sweden tomorrow, the King of Sweden is to hand medals to this year's Nobel laureates. Among them will be Claudia Golden, recipient of the prize in economics for her research on women in the American workforce. She's only the third woman to get that honor and the first to win it solo, not sharing it with anybody else. Economics correspondent Paul Solomon spoke with her about her trailblazing work.
Where did you grow up?
The Bronx, New York City.
Were you at all interested in economics? You went to the Bronx High School of Science, right?
I didn't know what economics was. Most high school students don't know what economics is. That's good. That's fine. There are many things that you should learn when you're more mature.
Golden's Nobel Prize is for her work on the economics of women, and in particular, the increasing role of women in the workplace.
It happened that a woman's delicate touch enabled her even to excel men in certain precision operations.
One against-the-grain finding, that Rosie the Riveter was not a main driver. Golden posed a question.
You know, if World War II had not existed, what would labor force participation of women have been in 1950? It probably would have been a little bit lower, but not much. The treatment effect of the war was probably felt most by the more educated women who had had the clerical jobs during World War II, not the ones who, like Rosie, would have been in the factories.
The most accurate image of Rosie, says Golden, is Norman Rockwell's, a temporary wartime factory worker whose job was to crush Hitler underfoot, not the now more famous image.
But that's the one that's become so popular. Yeah,
that's right, because she's cute.
Well, she's tough.
She's also very pretty. She was like 17, 18 years old. Norman Rockwell Rosie is the real Rosie.
A Rosie who often returned to housework when the soldiers came home from the war, reclaiming the factory work. But other women kept joining the workforce. One reason, the birth control pill, Golden says. Easier access to the pill in the 1970s helped more women pursue life outside the home.
It gave to women who were graduating from college the ability to have more time to form their careers either in the workplace or by going to professional or graduate school. It led to an increase in the age at first marriage. And that meant that one could concentrate more on careers and have the family later.
Which leads to today, with more than 77% of women in the workforce, up from 28% in 1940. And yet, the gender wage gap hasn't closed all that much. Women earn 82 cents for every man's dollar. Some 20 years ago, they earned 80 cents on the dollar.
When men and women begin their lives as workers, they earn similar amounts. And as their lives progress, these differences widen. I mean, that's a fact. And then the question is, how do we explain it?
And what did you find?
Much of this occurs around the time of the birth of a child. That explains a large part of the widening gap between men and women as men and women get older. What women, particularly those who are mothers, lose relative to men who are fathers is not fully made up. And if anything, men who are fathers, we see, seem to have something that we call the paternal premium.
Mom and dad are equally educated, equally able, working what Golden calls greedy jobs, 100-hour weeks and sky-high pay. But then
they just had a child, they want a second one, and they realize this is untenable, that someone has to be the on-call at-home parent.
So mom stays home, dad stays in the pressure cooker. But fathers not only work more hours and thus make more money than mothers, they also make more than single men.
Why?
There are several possibilities, but the one that seems most believable is they somehow internally decide that they should rev up their energies to earn more, provide for the growing group of children.
That was the story until the pandemic, which may now cause the pay gap to narrow.
about 30% of days worked are now at home, are now remote. Greedy jobs have gotten more flexible, and flexible jobs have gotten more productive. We have learned to work better. We have learned, too, that working remotely can be done productively.
Which means women are more able to do greedy jobs, too. Moreover,
women are getting more graduate and even postgraduate degrees, and that difference is increasing, right? We still need to worry about a gender gap.
The differences in earnings at the upper end of the education and occupation distribution, the gender gap is much, much larger than for individuals who have less education, whose jobs are not in the professional category. So it's enormously high.
I read something that said 5 years from now, women will be getting double the number of college degrees as men. So won't that mean that women are taking more and more high positions in the economy, even though women might still be expected to take care of the kids more than men are?
We would have to see, first of all, who's marrying whom and what degrees they have and what jobs they're going into. But to the extent that higher education means that the more doors are open to you, yeah, that certainly could narrow the gap.
I had one last question.
What's your reaction to getting the Nobel Prize in economics?
It has not yet sunk in, other than the fact that I got 1,600 emails in 36 hours that I had to go through, and it caused a certain amount of eye strain. I am delighted. And the 1,600 emails included hundreds and hundreds of emails that said, I cried, I want to hug you. And I have the sense that this isn't just my Nobel. It's a Nobel for women in general. And for that, I am very pleased.
As are many of us. For PBS News Weekend, Paul Solman.